God, be the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So the topic of this workshop is the OA Toolbox, using the tools to build your recovery. My name is Lee, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm seated with Leanne, who we are co-leaders for this meeting. So each of us will have up to 20 minutes to share, and then we'll open the room for shares up to 3 minutes. And this session is being recorded. So first, a little bit about myself. I'm trying to go up at all, but I guess not. I'm from Marshfield, Mass. I've been in OA 40 years. I had initially 16 years of abstinence, and then I relapsed. And I struggled in the rooms for another 16 years to get abstinent again. I currently have 8 years and 7 months of abstinence, and I've released 46 pounds of my relapse weight, and I still have a lot more to go, but one day at a time. So, the tools of recovery, the toolbox. I've got to make 2 disclaimers. First, I did put a little thought in notes, but whenever I speak, I turn it over to God. So even though I have notes here, I may not say what I wrote down. I let him take the lead. And if you don't hear what you need to hear, you can take it up with my higher power. And the other thing is, I fully love the tools, but I heard once something that I so agree with. The tools are like the handrails that help us go up the steps. And for me, you know, the tools are wonderful. They're a daily part of my life. But the program of recovery for me are the 12 steps and 12 traditions, and which I wouldn't have gotten to that point if it wasn't for the tools. So first I'm going to speak on the tool of meetings. And I'm going to go back and forth between when I came into program and today. So when I came in 1984, the first tool that I used was meetings. I went to my first meeting. I was desperate. I was close to suicide. I came close to suicide about 3 days before my first meeting. And when I got in the room, I wasn't sure if it was some kind of a cult I was walking into, because I heard a lot of God talk. And then a man qualified who had lost over 300 pounds and had kept it off for 5 years. And that blew me away, because I could lose some weight, but I could never keep it off. And I thought, yeah, is this real? Is this guy making this up? Then he passed around pictures. And I looked, and it did look like him, but I wasn't completely convinced yet. He pulled out the pants that he wore before, and he cut both legs into one leg of the old pants. And boy, I never forgot that image. And that gave me hope. That gave me hope. And he said, if I can do it, you can do it. And so I left that meeting. And for a few weeks, I only went to one meeting a week. And then I went to another meeting that was equally large. At the time, like, the meetings were between 80 to 100 people. The second Monday night meeting I went, there were 100. If you didn't get there early, you were standing. But, you know, the recovery and the sharing was unbelievable. So then the next tool that I latched onto was sponsorship. I think I was coming to OA for maybe 2 months, and I kept seeing this woman get up, and she would make announcements, and she was just so all put together and, you know, seemed to be in the know of everything, and I just admired her. And one day I got the courage to ask her if she would be my sponsor. And she said yes. And so as a result of that, you know, I would use several other tools. The tool of telephone. I would call her every night and tell her what I was planning on eating. Back when I came in, you know, in 84, there wasn't a plan of eating tool. But we had a pamphlet called Dignity of Choice, and it had different food plan group, you know, diets. I don't want to say diets, food plans on it. And I came in, and I actually didn't use any of those things that were on the pamphlet. Thank you. I was from I went to a commercial diet club so frequently that I could tailor it to my program in OA, which is what I did. So besides that, she suggested I get a journal and use of writing because she said it's very, very important, you know, to get your feelings out, to get emotions out, to get it down on paper. And over the years, you know, I have journaled from the first time she suggested that. Recently, not recent, but in 2011, I made my third move. And I said, do I need to move these boxes of these journals? So I finally got rid of them, and I'm starting another collection of journals. But writing also, back then, I think the first retreat I went to, they had us make a God box. And whenever you were feeling concern, worry, whatever, you could write it out and put it in the God box and give it to God. And I found that so very useful as well. Literature, yeah, can you make it a little higher too, maybe up a little? Literature, she suggested I get For Today. In 84, there wasn't a lot of OA literature. We had For Today. We had some pamphlets. We had some AA stuff. And then we had a lot of stuff that wasn't OA conference approved. It was written sometimes by OA people, but it was published by this company. That's how we had to get by. As time has gone on, you know, the literature that's available is unbelievable. And I love our literature. And then she introduced me to service. She had said that get from this program, you have to give back. And so the first service job that I did was making the coffee during the break. Back in the day, we always had breaks and we had coffee and tea. And so I was the one that made the coffee and cleaned the coffee pot after. That was the first job. And then another job was putting out extra chairs in the meeting. So ever since my first year, I've always done service. I've done service on every level of OA. And each that I have done has been equally important. Anonymity. There's one other thing on service I want to say that my first sponsor told me, and that was service is not always doing that which is easy and manageable for you to do. Service is going out of your comfort level and trying to do it anyways, and I never forgot that. That was an important message. Anonymity, that took me a while to really understand. Just didn't get it right. I couldn't even say it right, first of all. One lady had shared at a meeting, if you're having trouble saying anonymity, think of this little Irish lady, and her first name is Anna, and her last name is Nimity. And I thought of that, and that got me through it. I started saying anonymity, anonymity. And so now I can say the word. But I can remember breaking someone's anonymity because I really didn't understand what it was about. Regarding plan of eating, when I came in, we didn't have 9 tools. We had 8 tools, and one of the 8 tools was abstinence. And in 1995, the conference body decided abstinence is what we're trying to achieve. It's not a tool. It's our purpose of being. We're trying to get abstinent. And so they elevated it to that importance. And in its place, they put a plan of eating. And so that was, you know, the eighth tool at that point. And then the last tool that was added was in 2010. Thank you. And that was action plan. I've got to be honest and say when it got past that conference, thought, well, I guess some folks are happy. You know, they got a nice tool, and I think it's really kind of silly myself. You know, there's a thing in the big book, and I'm not good at quoting the big book, but there's a section that kind of something to the effect that contempt prior to investigation leads to ignorance. And that's what I was. I was ignorant because I wasn't really giving it a chance and thinking about it. And what made me open up to it was my sponsee started saying how valuable action plan was for them. You know, and I started listening to what they said, and I realized, yeah, this is helping them not only in their OA program, but it's helping them maneuver in life with different things, you know. So I embrace action plan today. So I kind of gave you a flavor of what it was like when I came in. What it's like today for me, I do have a plan of eating, and it's basically what I used in the first year, which, by the way, I think I mentioned, yeah, I had lost like 86 pounds the first year. I had to tweak it. As I get older, you know, your metabolism slows down, unfortunately. And also, I had two hip replacements. I have major back issues. I cannot do power walking like I used to. I cannot ride a bicycle like I used to. And I cannot do the swimming because I was supposed to have shoulder replacement. You know what? There's plenty of things I can do. I can't do those. But it means that besides following food plan, weight comes off lower because I can't do as much. But, you know, I leave that to God. It's coming off. I'm thrilled that it's happening. So, sponsorship. Today, I not only have a sponsor, I sponsor seven people. And it's not all talking to them each day. It really varies. I have two people that I do talk with each and every day. And I get their food texted to me each day. There are other people that text their food, and I talk to them once a week. Actually, I'm excited because I'm seeing a sponsee here tomorrow that I haven't seen in person for, I think it's about maybe 8 years now. So I'm really looking forward to seeing her. You know, that's what's so great about convention. But anyways, so I sponsor people. I have a new person I'm sponsoring, and I took her on because she tried for 3 months to find a sponsor, and people weren't even answering her calls, and I felt so bad. So I said, well, I have this time slot if you think it works for you, and it did, and she just hit 60 days of abstinence. She's been abstinent from day one that we started working together, which is God's handicraft, not mine. And, you know, she's just like taking it all in and wants to know more. And we just started going through the steps. She's now starting the writing on step four. So that's going to be interesting. But I love working with especially new people. But I love working with people in relapse because I can share the experience. So meetings today, I do... I was trying to figure out what it was. I do 5 meetings a week. They're all on Zoom, unfortunately. But I do 5 meetings a week, and they really vary. I love the writing meeting that I do, and there's a member in the crowd here that attends the same meeting. It's really great. I love, speaker meetings. I attend a big book meeting where we read it from cover to cover. And I've gotten so much out of it. Because the first 2 years, I used the big book to keep a window propped up. That's the only use I had for it. Seriously, in the summer. Because I just, like, these people talk weird in this book. Now I love it. What have I got? Okay, thank you. I read literature. I've got every book that's come out except the newest one, which I'll probably buy here today if they have it. And I forget the name, but it's on diversity. And definitely do writing. I drill or process or whatever you want to call it. In the morning, I get up. I say the third step prayer. I thank God for another day of abstinence, and I consider it a gift. When I first got abstinent again, I said, thank you, God, and I know this is a gift from you. And today I choose to accept the gift and not throw it away. And I've done that every day since. I choose to accept the gift of abstinence. I write, I go upstairs, I read for today, Voices. Oh my God, I love Voices too. I love the page about the woman in Italy that was lost on a bus, if it rings a bell for any of you. That's my most favorite page. And I write in my journal, and the first paragraphs are all gratitudes, which, by the way, I strongly suggested to my new sponsee that she start writing gratitudes. That'll change her world, and she does see the difference. So the first paragraph, first line is always, thank you, God, for another day of life. And then different gratitudes. The middle is my action plan. And yes, I do an action plan now. And I work in things, program things that need to be done, and lead things that need to be done. Then the last part are my petitions to God for different people. And I never ask for outcomes because I know God has a plan for each and every person. I just ask that He helps them deal with troubles or disease that they're dealing with and let them know of His love and compassion. So I've done that action plan. I'm not great on telephone, I got to tell you that. I was great at the beginning in 84 because my sponsor required that I make 3 calls a day. I don't know if we even had answering machines then. I think I would call until I got a live person. I don't think there were answering machines. That shows how archaic I am. Anonymity, I absolutely honor anonymity. What people tell me, you know, especially my sponsees, but if I see someone, I may, you know, make eye contact and just a smile, but I'm very aware, and especially on phone calls when I have to leave a message on a machine, like I don't know if their family knows they're in program, and so, you know, I sometimes it's tricky how you can do it without giving it away, but I do that. And service, I still do a lot of service. He recently was elected as the chair of my intergroup. I do Zoom hosting on one meeting, 3 other meetings. I'm the secretary. There's only one meeting on a Sunday night that's out of Houston, which is fantastic, folks. It's a long time, this meeting, and the speakers blow me away. But that's the only meeting I don't do any service. So I think I'm kind of done, except the tools really help us. One thing I do want to say, if you find that you start slacking off with your writing or your reading or your regular disciplines, take me as an example that you want to be cautious of what's going on, because that's how I ended up in relapse. The food was the last thing to hit. It was giving up all the disciplines that were so important to my program. And one last thing I'll say, I never left the rooms because I knew recovery was still here. I knew the program worked. And the harder I worked, it made me get closer to my higher power. So in a way, I don't regret that time. So I'm going to end with that. And I thank you for listening, and now we're going to have, I'm going to pull this off and hopefully not disconnect anything. We're going to have Leanne is going to speak. There we go.
I live in Bedford, Massachusetts. I've been over 200 pounds and I've been under 100 pounds. I maintain my weight, I've been maintaining it for months. I came into program initially abstinent for 15 years until 2008. My life just turned complete that in a minute. And I did leave the room. I didn't feel like I could stand in front of a room of people talking away out of one side of my mouth and lying out of the other side of my mouth. I felt like I was so full of ego that I thought I was way too important. And so I left. And I embarked on a painful, long, 13-year relapse where I became anorexic and bulimic. And I finally crawled back through these doors in 2021. I didn't dance through the doors of LA. I crawled back. I was full of rage. I was full of idol. I had lost a lot of respect from friends and family. I was on the verge of a divorce from my second marriage. I mention it because it was the tools that were the first thing to go when I left, right? Because it wasn't like I just woke up one day and said, hey, I'm out of here. It was a slow progression. One after the other, they just kind of fell right off the cliff. They are also the scaffolding that has helped me creatively and have had a lot of help not me doing this at all. I'm grateful that we get to share our own experiences and hope on this program and I'm grateful that there are no stars or VIPs. I'm just another compulsive overeater and food addict. I'm just like you. So when I was in program the first time, I initially used the tool strict plan of eating. I wrote it down. It was committed 4 meetings a week, a strict OA food sponsor, 3 phone calls a day, tons of sponsees, 30 minutes of quiet time to listen to me, read my daily readers, like my tools were my foundation. What happened was I never crossed over from I have to do them, and they became my rope, and what ended up happening is I never expanded my spiritual life. That's the difference for me today between this is the foundation, but I got to build a house from there, right? I'm not going to just... when I left OA, it wasn't as though, like I said, I was out of here. It was closed wide out the door. And started with calling the sponsor late, then it was lying to her about my life, fear of not having control, fear of people's judgment, fear of not being able to please people. Then I was being late to meetings, or I wasn't going to meetings. Then I was sitting further and further and further in the back of the room because I was going to be the first one out the door. It was making my quick phone calls, like to check them off, making any connections with anybody, not really talking about what was going on in my life. And eventually it was fewer calls. And the whole time I'm lying to my sponsor. I'm doing a pretend program. So eventually, yes, the food was the last thing to go, and I am also an alcoholic, and so I picked up the booze. I picked up the booze first, and then I picked up the food, and then within 6 months I was just staying in a trainer's office to help me take the weight off. I had unraveled my first marriage. I had harmed my husband and children, who were 3 beautiful abstinent pregnancies that I had in my first time program. My diseased brain has a built-in forgetter. And so for me, the tools give me that structure because I thrive on structure so that I keep that forgetter turned off. Thank you. When I decided to leave program, I was a single mom. And I convinced myself that I didn't have time to work these tools. I have time to do all those meetings or make those phone calls about that literature. But the truth is had I leaned into this program, not left the room, my life would have taken a completely... when I returned to the program, my goal was to find balance because I felt like the first time around, it looked like self-assistance punch. It was like, I've got to be perfect. And what I've learned from that is I don't have to be perfect. That's such a relief. I wanted to find balance. I wanted to work this program, and I wanted to grow in recovery. I didn't want to jump, and I just wanted it to be different. I had lost so much during those 13 years that I was out there. I was active in my addiction. I had marked multiple addictions. They say that, like, you're in this room and your kids is, like, growing out there in the parking lot. It ain't no lie, people. It's really ugly. Nothing out there for us. There's nothing. I don't ever want to be out there again. I can tell you that I've been in OA abstinent and recovery for almost 4 years. A lot of help. I'm grateful for my sponsors, my sponsees, my fellows. And I'll also tell you that I work my tools like my life depends on it because it does. Everything I have today, I would not have today without recovery. And, you know, my tools are not meant to be myself over the head with them. I don't use them to torture myself. It's because they actually work. And for me, I have body neutrality and food neutrality today, thank you God, a day at a time. These is like the rearview mirror right here. I can still see it. It's only been 3 days. For me, this is what starts with the tool. Flipping on the tool, I know that the food is next. For me, 3 days without taking quiet time, and I'm a woman. My attitude changes, my stinking thinking is in there. I forget about my relationship with my higher power. That's where the rubber meets the road in this program. So my tools, I know, are the path back to the food. I know that I can't get so busy and can't be willing to adapt with whatever life happens and not do them. Those are very activities that keep me focused on my recovery and my progress. They give me the structure that I thrive on, and I've already seen what happens when I've left. When I find myself not doing them, I will talk it over with my sponsor, not so I'm going to get me out by it, just so I can resume. Just simply resume. Like, that just seems like so gentle to me. That's part of the balance, you know, that I exercise in my recovery. I need a perfect. So how do I work my tools? So I'll start this off. So plan of eating. I do follow a structured plan of eating that I work out with a diet and sponsor. I'm in a food program. So I need structure around my food so that I can be free from the insanity with this drug. I abstain from foods that are triggers for me, and I stick to the right quantity for my body. OA has a plan of eating kit that gives people options should they choose them without mandating one way or another. I choose to abstain from refined carbs and sugar than I do because for me, anything, it keeps me not thinking about my food, and it keeps me not thinking about and obsessing about my body. That's all I did was obsess about this body that I'm in. Believes, is my personal belief, that people really can't do this program successfully without a sponsor. I actually have two of them. I have two sponsors. My sponsors really are my accountability people. They're the ones that help me stick to the values that I, rules that I set out for myself. They listen, they share experience and hope, they help and thought. If they see or hear an attitude or behavior that seems off, they point it out. I appreciate that. I trust them. I prefer to stick with the same sponsor to build that trusting relationship, but I recently had to change sponsors. My sponsor 3 years, she could no longer sponsor because of medical issues. I do sponsor differently today than I had when I was in the program before. I was very kind of ego. I've had to ask God for help to help me, like, not tell people what to do, and I try to wait until I ask my opinion. I do spend an hour with somebody when they ask me to sponsor them, so I can hear from them, like, what's your story, like, where did you come from, what do you need, just to see, like, can I help them, like, what are their goals, and if it doesn't seem like it's going to work, I will try to help them find another sponsor. I do live in step 12 daily, but I also believe in chemistry. If there's just not chemistry there, then I will help them get another sponsor. As for meetings, I also go to 5 meetings with the Work 2 program, OA speaker meetings and Facebook Step Set meetings in AA and OA. I go to committed meetings, which to me means I go to the same meetings every week. For me, that means that I get to know everybody in those meetings, they get to know me. If I'm not there, they're calling me. If somebody's not there, I'm calling them. Like, we lean on each other, right? We're there for each other. I do service on meeting level, so I participate in all of them, and 53-in-1, and I do meeting level service at all the meetings. One of the first tools that I worked when I came back, and it's where I heard, welcome home. It's, nobody looked at me and said, you're back. you know, they just wrap themselves around me. And I've heard it said at meeting makers make it. The telephone also was like the hardest tool to work. You know, when I first came into program, nobody texted. Everybody just called everybody, just left voicemails, but nobody texted. That's different today. And when I was a newcomer, I said to my sponsor, well, what am I trying to talk about on the phone? And she said, just let them know you're a newcomer, you're making a call, and ask them what you're doing, and they'll run with it. And right, that's exactly what happened. Staying connected is staying protected in this program, so I do that now. I like to use text to schedule my phone calls. Everybody's busy, everybody's got lives. I would rather best my chances of getting you on the phone. So I might text you and say, when are you free? Like, when can we talk? I find that having like a set time to make my calls helps. Like, I like to make my calls when I'm driving to and from the grocery store pantry. Or like if I was at a meeting and somebody gave out their number, I might call them right after everybody, you know, still like memory. So that works for me. The tool of writing, I use it every day. I write my food down on a magnetized planner that I get because I live in a house with other people and there's only one Apple left. I write an 11-step review that goes to my sponsor. And in that review, you know, I answer the question. Was I resentful? Was I selfish? Was I fearful? Was I self-seeking? Was I uncaring? Looking at my day, you know, did I do service today? And what are my gratitudes? So I do that writing every single day. And it's just so nice, like, being quiet time in the morning with God and having God at the end, it's kind of like full end of your day. So I find that I really love that. I wrote a 4-step inventory through the Big Book Step Study process. I gave it away to a sponsor last year. It was one of the most substantive, I think, community activities I think I've ever done. It's been the biggest thing that brought recovery. I write Dear God letters in my journal during my daily quiet time. I use the tool of writing to write what the daily reader said, because 56 and I forget stuff, so I need to write stuff down. So it takes, me writing basically takes like the static that's going on up here, stops it, puts it here, and then I can actually take a look at it. Plus it's actually nice, like when you go back in the journal and you see like I had this problem and God removed it, like how cool is that? So literature, I start my day with my literature. Those are encouraging words that fill my brain. I need that because if I don't fill my brain with positive, encouraging things, then the negativity can get in there. My favorite OA approved literature is Before Today, The Voices of Recovery, and the OA 12 and 12 for me. So much duration. And I can repeat the sort of the meditations and things through the day. Thank you. I also read the Big Book, and I actually study the Big Book. Like, first time around, I read it. This time around, I studied. It is the blueprint for life, and you know, the suggestions in those pages have changed mine. There's other books that I read. I know there are Way Proof, on Rock and Ripple Effects. Those are sort of deeper reading studies into 6 and 7 and 10, because I just want to be able to learn how to put those steps. My plan was the other tool that I first used when I came back into LA. I had to do this 30,000 foot view over my life when I came in and asked myself, was I really willing to do whatever it took to get well? Was I really willing to take suggestions from a sponsor? Was I really willing to make the calls and read the books and go to the meetings and interact with people? And you know, developing that overall action plan helped me find the willingness to do this one day at a time. I worked out a daily action plan with a sponsor, and it included the tools in some form throughout the day. I like to write mine down because I can refer back to it. But it's not just a to-do checklist. It includes like all the ways I take care of myself. Like, when am I going to have my meal? And you know, when am I saying my prayers? And what I'm meant to make, that's going to be in there. I also include movement as part of my program, and you know, I'm terrible at drinking enough water, so that's in there too. Anonymity was something that I learned early on, which you see here, stays here. I'm grateful for rooms where I can share my struggles and my lessons. I'm grateful for others who share theirs. It gives me an opportunity to learn and do service. Anonymity early on for me was something like, I'm not going to tell my spouse the name of the people that are in the room. But as time evolved, it became something where I would reach out to someone one-on-one that maybe I had an issue with, like something happened ahead of me. I thought they had an issue with me. Just to clear the air, instead of calling them out in my share, with some crosstalk, you know, respecting each other, right? That's part of how I work the tool and in the meeting. Just, you know, I have to remember, we're all compulsive overeaters just trying to work this program a day at a time, right? And then service, I started doing service within weeks of coming into the program. I put chairs away, then every single literature person, then every single food sponsor. For me, service is answering the phone when an OA person calls. It's speaking when I'm asked, volunteering at the convention, taking on service jobs at meetings. My first time around, I made it to Intergroup, I made it to Region, I made it to World Service, but, you know, I started this whole talk about balance. So this owner today, and so I don't have time to do it. But when somebody asks me, let them know I'm not able, so they can ask someone else. Somebody else can get that joy of doing service, right? So I'm gonna wrap with saying that I am not perfect. I just kind of rattle all this off, but I am not perfect. When life happens, sometimes my tools don't happen. I'm seated today because of an injury. I've been progressing, but the pain has been with me since months. And the first week, I was waiting for it to end, right when it was at its worst. I'm sure some people had my own, and I was putting off my quiet time, in my chair, because I'm such a habit. And after like a week of that, I found myself getting discouraged by the chronic pain. I was crying, like, God, why is this happening? And there were some moments of clarity where I was taking some quiet time, like laying on the floor, clutching my leg. And I just heard God kind of break through and say, you know what, Milana's just a nap. So now, yes, I have to sit in a chair, but I've got my books with me. You know, my son said, here's an app. You can type up with your thumbs. You can type up your 11 steps. You know, you don't have to try to write it upside down with a journal. It's falling on your head, you know. So, you know, I want to leave you with, you know, just do the tool. Because they're going to help you. Not because you have to, not because you're forced to, but because they're going to help you. So they saved my life. They've given me the structure. And
so this workshop was at just before. And for the rest of the time, we'll hear pitches from the floor. And I can't read your name.
Sherry.
Sharon.
Thank you.
Sherry.
Thank you.
Sherry.
Thank you. Can we ask questions during the pitch instead of pitching?
No, it's just sharing. Just sharing. Thank you for doing that. So Sherry is going to chime, and she'll sing you when you have 1 minute left. So you each have 3 minutes to share. Please come to the front of the room. We'll remind you that this session is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your consent to this. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a fictitious name or choose not to share. Say where you are from and how long you've been in OA, but devote your share to your OA experience, strength, and hope on the topic. Is the OA toolbox using the tools to build your recovery? So it's open for sharing. Don't be shy. So yeah, and actually if you want to just line up, that's fine.
Hi everyone, I'm Lindsay. Oh, I have to hold it. It's a mandatory situation. Okay. Did I volunteer to go first? No. Hi, I'm Lindsay P. Thank you so much for the two sharers. It was just so amazing. I love the quote, the tools are the handrails that help me up the stairs. That was so beautifully said. And it was just so nice to hear from two people and hear how the tools remain the same, but we use it differently. And I think that's been such a great part of outreach, is hearing how different people use the tools, like even just different plans of eating, different ways to connect with God, different literature. I know that for me, I really like guided meditations, and that's part of my action plan. what I was thinking about during the shares was just how beautiful it is that, like, the tools we actually add in the program. When I first came to OA, it was like, what do I have to take away? You know, I have to take away my selfishness, my food that I love. I have to take away time from my family. And I just felt like cutting, you know, I was chipping away. And to replace it, I really needed to replace that with the tools. And as soon as I stopped the tools, I feel like I just take this illusion power back. The fear comes back, and I lose my serenity. So it was just so wonderful to just remind myself that these tools are really my safety net for just surviving each day and just being able to navigate life and life circumstances. So that was just so beautiful, and yeah, I just loved everything I heard. So thank you.
You really have to, like, eat the mic.
Okay. Everybody, I'm Jen, and I'm a compulsive overeater living in recovery just for today. Hi, it's good to be here. I'm really intimidated, but I knew I had to get up here quick, otherwise I'd chicken out. So thank you to our speakers who shared today. And what I wanted to say was I really related to the idea of, I think, Leanna, you said it about when I start to kind of like I have two teenage daughters and life gets very overwhelming and the first thing I want to get rid of is like, oh, I can't go to that meeting. I don't want to talk to the sponsee. I'm not going to do my writing today. That's like the first thing that goes by the wayside, or I want to go by the wayside. But I know that's the one thing that can't go by the wayside, because without the tools, I can't do life. I can't do anything else. I can't be the mom that I want to be in the, you know, my professional life. I can't be that person either. So I love that, you know, there are the handrails to the steps. I've heard that before, and I really appreciate it. And then, Lee, I really liked what you said about the food not being the first thing to go. I always thought it was, like, oh, you know, once I my trigger food, that's it, I'm done. But I've seen in my program that it is that idea of, like, I'm not going to go to that meeting tonight, or I'm not going to call my sponsor, or I'm going to make up some excuse, and I just can't do that. Because once I start to put those things down, then I'm going to pick the food up very easily. And I, too, have a built-in forgetter, and I need constant daily reminders of how horrible life was before I came in the room. And at one of my home meetings, they always say, we have to keep the memory green, and that's so true. Like, I have to keep it fresh in my mind, because if I don't, I'll go exactly right back to where I was. For letting me share.
I'm probably the shortest person in the room. Hi, my name is Christina, and I'm a grateful compulsive eater from Manchester, New Jersey. And there's a Manchester in Connecticut, too, because when I was in a step study, my partner was from Manchester, Connecticut. So it's nice to make the rounds and know that OA is everywhere. And when I've gone to OA, I've been around for over 40 years in program, one day at a time. And I go to a newcomer meeting every morning. The format is different every day, but the focus is to welcome people and to have them be comfortable. And the tools, you know, I think that gives people the patience to stay here until they develop a sense of what their spirituality could be and how they could connect to a higher power. You know, I always say to the newcomers, keep coming to meetings, because if you stay away, the lights go out. And you're not going to hear anything that will help you. The phone calls, I thought my heart was going to jump out of my throat when I came in years ago. But, you know, the women that had a glow about them worked the tools. They studied the big book. And they kept saying, make calls. So I called one of the goddesses in the program and I said, this is my first call. I'm a newcomer. And she said, Christina, your gift is like a your phone call is like a gift to me. And so I decided I wasn't going to have a heart attack. And she shared some lovely things with me. And over time, I learned how to ask people what they were doing that was good for them. And I tell the new people, you know, just say your crazy sponsor told her to call somebody that you don't know. And so they have found it helpful too. But I'm grateful for every day I've been in here. It's given me quite a life, unlike I would have had I had no teachers in the program. Thanks for listening.
Felicia, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I had to remember which 12-step program I was in. It's so nice to be here. I came into OA in 1991 when I was 21, and nothing I did, I could never lose weight, and I got a food plan through coming here, and I obsessed with my food plan, and I was worshiping my food plan, and I didn't understand the whole part of it being a spiritual malady, and I didn't understand how spiritually sick I was. And so then I would take turns with pieces of the tools, but I wasn't utilizing the tools to try to get me through until I could have the spiritual experience, and I wasn't reading and trying to experience the book with the sponsor like I did when I came back. And I'm so grateful. I've played so many games, and for me, being honest is one of them. Like, I started making phone calls by calling people when I knew they wouldn't be home. And then I started calling people that were in relapse because they were easier calls. And I didn't want to do the work and neither did they. And those were the people that I would continue to call. And then sometimes I would call the meetings and be like, did you hear that person? Like, that was really sick. My sponsor told me that I had to make 3 calls. I had to call at least 2 that were covered. I was terrified. Like, what am I supposed to talk about? And then I learned, like, talk about the step you're on. Like, ask them about the step you're on. And if you ask someone about their recovery, they're more than willing to share. And now I love phone calls. They're not hard for me. Phone doesn't weigh 300 pounds. One day I was, like, cracking up, a little compulsive, but I called, like, 12 people, and I felt like I was, like, floating on air. Like, it was amazing. I love my meetings. I love going to my meetings. I love going to the meetings and doing this at the meetings. And I love that, thank you, that tools give me that structure that you were talking about. I don't have structure. I don't have structure with what I eat. I don't have structure with how I pray. I don't have structure with what I do with my life. I don't have structure with what I sleep. I don't have structure with how much TV I binge. The tools give me structure. And then within that, I have the opportunity to read the big book, to go through the steps, to work the steps, and to have a spiritual experience. So that now it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so deprived, I don't get to eat this. It's like, oh my God, I cannot believe how blessed I am that I don't have to eat this. It's a miracle to me that I could come here, that I want to be here, and that I can still be human. And when I first came in, I was terrified, and I was like, I don't know who these people are. I'm just used to little boxes on the phone. And then it became like, God is with me, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to be okay. And I would not have expected an hour ago that I'd be sharing, but this is what God does, and I'm just like, okay. And I just do the next right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Leanne, a compulsive overeater and food addict. And thank you. And so glad to be here at convention again. And thank you to both of our speakers today. The tools being the handrail to the steps, so true, so true. I've also heard that they are the guardrails that keep me in the road, and that is so true. When I first came in, I've been in program about 3 years, a little over 3 years. When I first came in, there's all this I had to do, like all the tools. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to fit that in my life. I don't know where I'm going to fit that in my day. I have to do all this? And I was told, no, you don't have to do them. You get to do them. Mm-hmm. And I have circled back around, and I love the tools. In my mind and in my heart, the way the tools help me is they give me hooks to hang my stuff on. My daily stuff. I just hook them on there, and I wait until I can deal with it. There, I make a call. Okay, I can deal with it. I go to a meeting. Okay, I can deal with it. And I've realized recently that the tools also have their hooks in me. That when I struggle, right where I need to be. When I'm struggling, when I have a food thought, or when I'm just struggling, thank you. Tools have their hooks in me and keep me sane, keep me my peace, and I'm just so thankful for the privilege, the honor to be able to do the tools and to get to do the tools and to do this program.
I'll go. I'm hiding. Everybody, I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ottawa, Ontario. I actually spoke on this subject at the last convention, but you guys were freaking awesome. One of the things I really liked that was shared was that even if you relapse, you can come back and use the tools again, and you might use them differently. Because I am a relapse survivor, and one of my earliest meetings I went to had a speaker who said she used all the tools every day.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, I have an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old, and I work. How am I supposed to use all the tools every day? And my sponsor said, you don't have to use all the tools every day. Do what you can. You figure out what works for you. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I don't have to work my program the way she works her program. No, you don't. Okay, cool. But let me tell you, I'm retired now, and I don't use all the tools every day, to be very honest with you. And I have plenty of time now. This is a bit of a wake-up call for me. And this is why I love coming to conventions. Because you get your wake-up calls, and you get to see the people who get you, you know, and it's amazing. And just, if you can ever go to a convention again, just go, because, man, these things are great. And go to all the sessions, although 8 a.m., come on, seriously? We'll see. Depends how I sleep. Thanks. Anyway, I used to say my favorite tool was service because I love doing service, but I don't have a favorite anymore, you know. And all that I can do at this point in my life is ask my higher power to help me do what I can do, what my higher power wants me to do, what's best for me. I have mental health issues, I have physical issues, and I'm standing here realizing that I've really been on the pity pot lately, so I need to get off the pity pot and start doing stuff again, and this is the shot in the arm that I really needed. So thanks a lot. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, everyone that shared and participated just by being in the room. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thanks for attending the workshop, and we'll close with the Serenity Prayer. You know, I have it in French on the wall in my bathroom. I've been trying to learn it, but I don't have it down yet, so it's going to be in English. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will not mind. Thank you all. All right, hit the red button. Where the hell?
It's okay. It's just, it was for that.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. I got to say, I'm going to be a little bit.
talking with you.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Good luck on the raffle.
I know.
Well, I'm glad I'm moving.
I'm all going to do this now.
That you are a
Well, I've been working out with my husband. What kind of form of the body? One's natural,
I'm not doing anything to make the convention happen.
But I remember them as a key.
Oh, yeah, no, my registration was screwed up. We're not the ones who organized it, so we're just waiting on it starting.
No, and then I can hand it from whoever comes. There should be, in the bin, looking for that.
Oh, I'll send it.
Oh, damn.
All right.
Upstairs,
though. Yeah, I got the music. I got it. Got
it? Not to, but that's just normal.
No, that works.
Do you need anything while I'm up there?
Oh, I'm good, man.
Normally, what we do is we just sort of set chairs and turn them around.
Works
people will come in late, you know. For a meeting?
Yeah.
He used to do circle meetings, but now, like, everyone just,
well, you know what? Hey, good question, Ms. Sheba.
I go for circle.
Circle.
I like the circle idea.
Okay.
You want to read our invitation to you?
Sure.
Okay. So.
You're for the OA meeting?
Yeah.
We're in the circle. Come on up. Circle, remember we used to circle meetings before we were all stuck in boxes?
I only know boxes.
Oh, before every meeting became Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
Okay, can I get a volunteer to read the steps?
Hi.
How are you?
Well, why don't we let someone else do it?
Hey,
can I get a volunteer to read the steps when I come to it? All right. They are attached to our invitation to you, which Cheryl will read, and then she will pass it to whoever is sent it to her. I'm Dan, by the way.
Hi, Dan.
Always,
it's so hot.
Somebody else has a burning desire to do it. We still got a few minutes. It is now 9:30 p.m. on Friday night. My name is Dan. I am a compulsive overeater, leader for this meeting.
Hi, Dan.
And if you haven't already silenced your cell phones, please silence them at this time. And after a moment of silence, please join me.
God.
Grant me to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right. Welcome. As we extend the heart and the hand of the OA Fellowship to those who suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us. No problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting, regardless of race, creed, nationality, religion, gender identity, orientation, or attribute. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself? Hey, is this the second or third time for anyone here? Is this the first, second, or third meeting of Overeaters Anonymous for anyone here? I urge you to get a sponsor to help guide your recovery, develop a plan of eating, write it down, report it daily to your sponsor, read OA-approved literature to develop a working knowledge of 12 steps and 12 following the OA preamble. This is a fellowship of individuals who everyone who wants to stop eating can build dues or fees are self-supporting through our own contributions. OA is not affiliated with any public organization, political ideology, or doctrine. We take no primary purpose is to appeal for before we start the rest of the room and introduce ourselves. Dan, I'm a compulsive over.
Cheryl, I'm from Weymouth, Mass.
Hi, Cheryl.
I'm Debbie from Debbie. I'm Anna from
Anna.
Marilyn from Ashby.
Donna from Farmington, Connecticut.
I'm John from the
I'm John as well.
Janet.
We skipped over some.
Sorry.
My name's Elaine.
Elaine.
Yeah, I'm screwing it up. Please. Get it, and yes, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claire.
Hi, Jan.
And we got one.
Hey, Wayne, very good. Hi, Wayne.
Charles been good enough to volunteer to read our invitation after the app. When she's done with it, she'll pass.
Have major disadvantages of a suffering compulsive overeater from a recovery works as well for compulsive overeaters as it does for alcohol. To use this recovery, our literature and going to rely on a busy sanity join the rest. The emotional, physical, and buffer several suggest not a diet closely diminishes and in many key process of to realize their freedom.
Powerless over food in our lives to turn our will or
May the third oven humbly ask and commend to such people virtual awakening as a result. Try to carry this message to the whole court and set the things. The success of this program is now gives us the ability to decide you are one of us. We offer you the gift of acceptance.
From compulsive eating and compulsive virtual, emotional, and physical the tools of recovery, having from compulsive overeating. More information on any of these tools. Anybody like to speak for a minute or two?
Hi. Action plan. So, I knew, I mean, I did it. I wasn't here and I'm on the beach. Those are three different
things.
I'm sorry. For that 10 steps. It took me a long time of me to figure out what a boss of land. That means something, a plan. I can't go off. There's no problem. I don't have anything to do with it. But my plan, if I'm on the plan, if I'm extra, there's one extra kid, there is something wrong. It's minor because it's just a fruit. We don't exactly know what it is, but it's off the plan. That's the value to me now of my plan. Plenty of fruit for me.
I like write Dear God letter. So a calmness God writes back to me. The doctor had removed my natural letter that I wrote down to me, you know, but hone in on
I wanted to talk about the tool of action. I am a bit of a when I knew I signed up for the convention 2 weeks, but I had a list. Wait, I don't get as much. I get a lot of anxiety just doing things on my own. Happy that I'm here. All this meeting was open. I want to meet you. I want to meet with everyone at the meeting. I just a little bit more
insight. I'm Anna, Local Reader Equal Opportunity.
I
want to talk on this tool of the telephone. I'm on the phone every day, a number of like-minded people, and it's bothering me. I use the telephone, like, right there.
Anna.
OA members to adapt this. All abstinent available sponsors, please are here. There is a week here.
Oh, that was
It might be. Well, we got a pen. There is, though, if somebody wants to, there is a pen. There is a clip would like to donate a piece of paper. We can pass that list, we can pass that around, and that can't be a week here list. The only OA approved literature on the expenses for this convention, this being a rather formal meeting. OA needs money all the time. It's not non-negotiable, but I have something clever to say. It's gone. Give money to the region if you need it. Being said, if you don't like to take a group conscience, I can just about all of us have smartphones here, and all of us have on some sort that, or we could simply, if one wants to do a qualification, I suggest we just go to lettering. I would like to take a group conscience. I think we should move right to sharing. Can I get a second on that? Okay. Any opposed? Would put that to a motion then. We're going to start with for today, from October 25th. Matt? All right. Anybody got for today handy?
October 25th. Better has it once than always, as much as my fear haunt me the rest of my life. Skimming the surface I am, the more freely I breathe. I want to shout, hey, I'm not afraid to one and all who cook the fork.
Okay, thanks for sharing. As you share your experience, please also share your hope. Please continue your experience with the disease of compulsive overeating. If you need to talk more about your difficulty, then a timekeeper would probably work here. We've got a good time. We've got a lot of folks here. So,
2 minutes.
Two will do. Open for sharing.
I feel that was red. There was I am, the more freely I breathe. Honesty helped. Oh, there was a lot about fear.
Yeah.
So I was at recovery, and I have been. Life right now is older. My dad hurt us. And I mean, because I'm grateful for that. And I am, I am so full of fear work. My tools to the best of, like,
opposite of fear is faith.
And be afraid!
Because it gets better. I'm never going to be without fear. So, you know, it allows me to jump in, allows me to find full of, look at it today as opportunity when I'm in, to work on it, and to work on it.
And I am uncomfortable with being involved. I had to retreat from it. It does make me, with every soul of the kind of weird nature of, that's so many. So, I feel so much better saying that. Thank you.
I am.
Yes,
what's maybe the lack of process where I don't know. And he was just worried about whatever.
Yeah, I'm a compulsive overeater. I like those because they're clever, but the life becomes manageable. All the restless, irritable, and discontent while each day happy joys. A lot of fear recently was because of both sessions. I had learned the worst of my eating habits. I was sleeping in that room that I haven't slept in about it.
I
did.
And as you heard, I also want to our sister program. So one of the things that's helping to see really, really get close, this woman has to polish my hair.
I say a ritual prayer in the morning, and then I ask God for the truth in my office lately. Ritual prayer, I say as I get anxious, I remember this prayer of an old gentleman from the other side of the
country. Happen, excuse me, I'm doing that fourth step, and that's going to be the way. So, so if you attend the next. You are in a meeting and there is no person.
That's in the other room.